Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and of course Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Irupso, Magellan, and Diamonds.
I have got three movies with one-word titles to talk about this week, and they're all kind of interesting movies, but in very, very different ways. The first one I want to talk about is a Polish-American movie called Irupcja, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I will actually spell it, E-R-U-P-C-J-A. And this is apparently a Polish word for eruption because the movie takes place in Poland and it stars Charlie XCX. So we have a very unusual project here, a movie that takes place in Poland and stars the notorious, well-known, famous Charlie XCX, and was directed and co-written by Pete Oz, and which is a pretty pleasant movie. And one of the things I like best about this movie is that it is less than an hour and a quarter long. Now, many people may feel, oh, I'm not getting my money's worth when I see a movie that just lasts that long. Well, it's a nice enough movie that I think you are getting your money's worth. So many movies nowadays, especially, are so much longer than they need to be. In a little while, I'm going to talk about a movie which is really long. But Irupcja is nice and short, and I liked it partly for that reason. And I just liked it for other reasons as well. It's a nice movie. So here's what we've got going. The first major character that we meet is a young woman named Nell, and she runs a flower shop in Poland. And she just kind of, you know, has a kind of a life. She doesn't seem to be all that enthusiastic about various things that she's doing, but she gets along and things are okay. And she's got some friends and she's kind of glum some of the time, but that's fine. Then an old friend of hers shows up, a young woman named Bethany. This is the character played by Charlie XCX. And Bethany is visiting with her boyfriend, who is planning to propose to her. He's got this big plan. He decided that a city in Warsaw would be the very, very best place to propose to her. So there they are. And he's getting his courage up. He's also a fairly major character in the film, and it's not clear when he's going to get around to this. He keeps changing his mind. In the meanwhile, Bethany has figured out what's going to happen, and she's not 100% sure that she really wants to be proposed to. She likes this boyfriend. They've been together for a while, but well, you know, she's not really sure she's ready for a permanent commitment. So she goes and she hooks up again with Nell, and the two of them start doing what they have always done in the past, which is to party. They go off to visit an artist in his apartment who is having a big party. He's another major character, a black character, by the way. And there's various little tiny interactions among these different characters. That's what this movie is. It's a very, very modest film. And over the course of the film, we wonder if that boyfriend is ever going to get around to doing that proposing. And we wonder if Nell and Bethany maybe have something going between themselves. It never becomes quite for sure. In any case, there's one other thing going on in this movie, which is where the title comes from, Irupcja. There is an eruption in the movie. Little tiny eruptions of emotion and feeling and story development, but a major eruption of a volcano, Mount Etna. And this actually helps to drive the plot of the movie because all flights are canceled for 72 hours because of volcanic ash in the air. And interestingly, Bethany and Nell have this history where every time they get together, it seems, somewhere in the world, a volcano erupts. Well, this time it's erupted not too far away from where they are. And again, that sort of stalls everybody where they are in the city and nobody can get out, even though they have plans. And the story just kind of proceeds along the track that I've already described. I'm going to say once again, it's a nice little movie. It's little in its running time. It's little in its character development. It's little in its story points. It just sort of moseys along and takes its time. And I found it quite pleasant to watch. There's a narrator who comes in from time to time and helps you keep up with the story, which is very uncomplicated anyway, by the way. I would say that the dialogue is maybe about a third in Polish and maybe about two-thirds in English, roughly like that. I didn't bring a stopwatch with me when I went to see it. In any case, piece Eruptia is now playing in theaters. I had a good time watching it. And again, I am so happy to be seeing a movie which is nice and modest in its running time. You go, you see the movie, and then you get on with your day or your evening. I think there ought to be long movies, yes. But I think that there ought to also be movies like this, which don't take up too much of your time, and above all, don't bore you. Okay, next movie, Diamonds. This is a bit longer. This is about 2.25 hours. I'll just mention that because I've been talking about running time here. And Diamonds comes from a director named Ferzen Ospetek, and it's Italian production. It's a multinational production, actually, but it's in Italian language, and it's very Italian kind of a movie, takes place in Italy and all of that. So it is a movie about movie making, specifically about costume designing. At the very, very beginning of the film, we see the director himself, Ospetek, getting his cast together around a big table outdoors, and they're all kind of talking and schmoozing, and then they're going to read through the script, and they're going to decide how they're going to do this movie. And then we go from that into the movie itself, and then every once in a while, we come back to the big table with the cast assumed. It's kind of a frame tale, as they used to call it. We come back to them from time to time, but mainly we see what goes on in the movie itself. So what we have is a costume shop, a shop that makes costumes for plays and movies. And it is run by a couple of sisters. And they get along reasonably well. Their names are Alberta and Gabriella. And they have a high intensity operation here. They've got a lot of work. And one of the two sisters especially is a very tough taskmaster, or I guess I should say taskmistress. She wants everybody to keep working. And when a young newcomer comes along and wants a job working in the place, Alberta says, "Can you sew?" And the girl says, "I don't want to be a seamstress. I want to be a costume designer." "No, no, no, you have to sew. All good costume designers have to sew." And she's really, really tough. And that young woman, by the way, turns out to be a very minor little character in the film, even though we see her at the very beginning. In any case, we've got these two sisters, one of whom is very, very tough. And then they get a new job. The job is to do the costumes for a movie set in the 18th century. So there we have it. And the person who's designed this movie is this very, very big deal in the movie designing world. And so the sisters who run the costume shop want to do a good job by her. And one of the sisters actually jumps in and says, "We don't want to just do some of the costumes. We want to do all the costumes." So this means that they're going to have a ton of additional work piled on top of their already extremely busy costume shop. So that's what the movie is about. Now, if the movie were all about making the costumes, it probably wouldn't be all that interesting. For me, at least, I'm not really big on movie costumes. And it probably wouldn't be as short as 2 hours and 15 minutes, approximately. A lot of other things happen in this movie, too. And I have to say, it's when the subplots come in that the movie gets really, really clunky at times. For example, one of the women who works at the costume shop has a really abusive husband. He's not just abusive. He's abusive like a character in some ancient melodrama. You can almost see him twirling his mustache and saying evil things and doing evil things and being violent and threatening violence. So it's a perfectly good plot point to have in a movie, but it is way, way, way overdone. Some other things are not so overdone. There's a young woman who is fleeing the police after a political protest, and she gets to stay in the costume shop and hide out there for a while. There's a little boy who needs someplace to stay, and so he ends up staying in the costume shop, although if either one of the sisters comes in, he's got to hide away in a closet or a box because they won't let him stay. So we have little subplots like that going on, some of them, as I said, very, very clunky, the kinds of things you'd find in a really old-fashioned melodrama or a soap opera or something like that. But when it's talking about making the costumes, when it's talking about the various tensions among the women who work in the shop, it's actually a pretty interesting and very watchable movie. And above all, there's just a lot of really beautiful things to look at, even if you're not really into movie costumes like me. It seems to be a time when, for some reason, I guess some signal sent down from the moon or something, fashion is really in the mainstream movie world at the moment. We have The Devil Wears Prada 2, which is the sequel to that movie from 20 years ago, which is all about a fashion magazine and the fashions that are talked about and written about there. We've also had Mother Mary, which is a movie all about fashion, and that's also right on the current scene at the moment. And now we have this new movie, Diamonds, or in Italian, Diamanti. So Costumes, things to look at, tensions among women who work there, a bit too long running time, some very clunky subplots, but basically a perfectly watchable movie, which I had a nice time with. I can recommend Diamonds. And especially if you're interested in movie costumes, you'll have a really, really good time with it because that's really what the movie is all about. And now for the last movie of the day, I said I was going to talk about one that was really long, and this is a movie called Magellan. And yes, it is about the famous 16th century explorer. When I was in school, we learned about Magellan as the first person who circumnavigated the globe, who sailed his ships all around the globe. Well, actually, he didn't manage to complete the trip, as we see in this movie. He got killed by indigenous people along the way, but his crew went on and finished the voyage. And so he was, in that sense, certainly the first person who circumnavigated the globe. And so what we have here, this movie takes place mainly in the early 16th century, in the early 1500s, and it deals very much with Magellan, who is played by the very charismatic Gael Garcia Bernal. Not one of my favorite actors, but he has a very, very big worldwide following, and he has a really good role in this movie. It's not a charismatic movie role in a sense. This is directed, which I'll talk about in a moment, by a Filipino director named Lav Diaz. And he loves long shots. He loves to have the camera a long way away from a character or from characters so that they're always surrounded by their environment, that you see it all on the screen. That's his style. So we don't get many close-ups of Bernal in this movie, but we do see a lot of him. He really is the main character. He is the title character. So Lav Diaz is, again, a Filipino director, and he really makes long movies. I once watched a Lav Diaz movie that lasted something like 10 hours. Yep. And others, which last for hours and hours. This for him is a quickie. It only lasts about 2 hours and 45 minutes. And I will let you know right now, it is very slow moving, which is also Lav Diaz's style. However, this movie moves faster than a lot of his other movies because it has actually quite a lot of action in it. So here's what the movie is about. It is certainly about Magellan, and it is about him circumnavigating the globe, or at least starting out to do that. We see him, he gets married, he has a life, and all of that. But he and a colleague discover a new route that could take him to the Spice Islands, and they decide they have to do this, they'll get money, they'll be able to do this, and it'll be an exciting expedition, and they will come back rich and famous. And in their minds, perhaps above all, they will conquer the world for Christianity. So the movie starts out in Malaysia, where they land and where they kill a lot of people. And they decide this is all a very good thing to do because they will eventually wipe out Islam and make the entire world Christian. That's their basic project here, a terrible project. And yes, this movie is very much about imperialism, and it is very much about the dark and evil sides of imperialism. So that's a whole lot of the movie has to do with that. And as the film proceeds over its 2 hours and 45 minutes, we see Magellan land in different places with his crew. We see him get into different kinds of conflicts. We see his crew kill a lot of people. We see a lot of people, especially after they've been killed, and we have all of this going on, and we're reminded constantly of the evils of imperialism and the evils of people who set out to conquer other peoples for the sake of their own ideology, their own religion, their own whatever it might be. So that's what this movie is about. And sometimes it is a pretty harrowing watch, but mainly it is a very contemplative watch. You're invited to sort of sink into it and think about it as it proceeds. It is not a plot-driven movie. It is less a story to be followed than a kind of a place to be in. We have all of these beautiful countryside exteriors with all kinds of lush vegetation and things like that. And again, those are always all over the screen, not always, but very often. But also we have this terrible violence, this terrible conquering mentality, and this kind of thing, which shows kind of what human beings have done to the beautiful natural world, done all kinds of terrible things. And we have little subplots that enter in too, when a couple of men are engaged doing a homosexual act on Magellan's ship. One of them immediately has to be beheaded. Later on, Magellan has a priest abandoned on an island all by himself because Magellan is afraid the priest might violate the confidence of the confessional. So we have little subplots like that. But mainly, we have Magellan's voyage, and we have constant reminders, which I think can't come too often, of the evils of imperialism and of ideology-driven conquest and killing. Magellan is a movie that not everybody will enjoy. It's very long, it's very slow, but I really sank into it and found it a fascinating thing to watch and to think about. I recommend Magellan. So there are my three movies this week with one-word titles.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Irupso, Magellan, and Diamonds.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.